Hello, welcome to Reflections on Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church. Making hard decisions is simply part of life. Do you agree? Will I sit in this chair or that chair during the service today? Should I ask this person out or that person? Should we get married? Should I pursue this career or that career? Should I buy this house or that house? Should I attend this church or that church? Should we sell the house now and downsize, or should we upsize? Should we look at moving into a retirement village? You know, making hard decisions is simply part of life. I've had to make many hard decisions over the years, and it's never, ever easy. Making hard decisions is simply part of life, especially when you make the wrong decision and you need to live with the consequences of that wrong decision. One of the biggest and the best decisions I ever made was asking my wife Louise to marry me. It's hard to imagine a bigger decision than choosing your life's partner, would you agree? Think about the implications for me if I had chosen not to ask Louise. Think about the implications for my children, for Brendan, Lauren, Gemma and Jordan, and now Andrea, Dion, Giuliano, Jessica and little Joseph, Vienna and Oliver. Just think about the implications for their children and their children and their children. This is a big decision that ultimately will impact hundreds of people. You see, life and the decisions that we make will only very rarely have limited impact. The decisions that we make more often than not impact everyone else around about us and the people who will live long after we are gone. So let me ask you today, this first Sunday of 2024, what crossroad or crossroads are you at right now? Maybe these decisions you're facing seem not so big, but maybe the implications for what you decide may be really significant and impacting. I want to speak to you today from a passage of Scripture which has hugely impacted my own life. I want to speak to you from Psalm 1. I want to return to this short little psalm which the people who put together the collection of prayers, songs, poetry of the people of Israel decided to put first. Psalm 1 points out that life is about crossroads. And as I said to you last week, it's about the path down which we choose to walk. Life is full of decisions that will have major impact on how blessed you will ultimately be. Let's open the Word of God to Psalm 1. And I just want to point out that the latest NIV translation says, "Blessed is the one," rather than "blessed is the man." The original Hebrew word can mean man or husband, but it can also be translated as everyone or human. So we just need to be aware of that as we make our way through this. This is not just speaking to men, but rather to all people. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the one, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So the psalmist starts off with this rather emphatic statement, "Blessed is the man." What does it mean to be blessed? In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is translated also as happiness. So to be blessed is to be happy. Happiness is part of being blessed. And we all want to be happy, don't we? I mean, I've never met anyone who wanted to be unhappy. Plenty of people are unhappy, but no one wants to be unhappy. However, and this is a very important point which you really need to get, this blessing is not something that's simply given by God, but rather it comes about as a direct result of living in a certain way. So we might quite accurately say, blessed are people who live God's way. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So what does it mean to walk in the counsel of the wicked, to stand in the way of sinners, or to sit in the seat of mockers? Well, when we walk in the counsel of someone, we listen to their advice. When we stand in the way of someone, we live a lifestyle like them. When we sit in the seat of mockers, we keep company with the wicked. The Apostle Paul summarizes this beautifully in his letter to the Corinthians when he said, bad company corrupts good character. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. But that raises the question, doesn't it? Who are the wicked? I mean, are the wicked simply murderers or thieves or rapists? Aren't we all wicked in that we've all sinned? I mean, everyone is guilty of sin, so is this speaking about everyone? That is, not listening to anyone, not living a lifestyle like anyone else, not keeping company with anyone? That simply wouldn't make sense, would it? Now, this is talking about people who have no regard for God and his guidelines for life. I'm sure I've told you this story before. I remember it well. It had quite an impact on me. Shortly after finishing school, after doing my HSC, I was 17 years old, looking for work, any work. I just wanted to earn some money to pay off the car my parents had helped me to buy. Dad said that he could speak to some people in at his work and see what he could organise. Now, my dad was a singer with Opera Australia for more than 40 years. He'd been around for ages, knew everyone, and had some clout within the company. He organised for me to work with the guys who unloaded semi-trailers, bring all the sets and costumes back up from the Melbourne season to Sydney. When my dad told me about the job, we imagined that I'd be working at the Sydney Opera House. But this wasn't the case. I mean, everything was stored in a huge warehouse in a dingy back street in Darlinghurst. My shift started at midnight and went through to 9 a.m. I'll never forget that first night. Parked my car in a dark alleyway and walking into this world that could not have been more foreign to me, a middle-class Christian kid from the North Shore. As I walked in through the large roller door, I was confronted with a large naked mannequin with, let's just say, rather crude attachments. Pornography was scattered everywhere, as were empty beer and spirit bottles. I mean, surely I'd walked into the wrong building. Surely this could not be the place where my dad, my teetotaling, God-fearing father, had organised for me to work. Surely this was a mistake. But then confidently striding up to me came a rough-looking bloke who smiled and said, "You must be Murray. Come and I'll introduce you to the guys." He took me further into the warehouse, and there I was introduced to a group of blokes who, they looked very different to me. I kid you not. I had on bright pink board shorts and a yellow surf shirt. You remember, this is about 1984. They were dressed in black, nothing but black, and they all had tattoos. I didn't have a tattoo. It wasn't like today, where you're a rebel if you don't have some ink. Anyway, you get the picture. I was very different to these guys. I mean, don't understand me. They seemed nice enough blokes. But by the end of the shift, they'd pushed pornography, really strong drink, and a whole range of illicit drugs my way, saying, "Come on, mate, just give it a go. What's your problem?" Well, for a start, I'm underage. I didn't go back. I knew straight away this place wasn't for me. They were friendly enough. They were nice enough. But I knew these guys would not be a good influence on me. I knew that I didn't want these guys speaking into my life. And Mum and Dad agreed. Let me ask you today, who are the influences in your life? Who are the people who speak into your life? More importantly, who do you listen to? Who are the people who influence the way you live your life? Are they people who have a high regard for God and his ways? Or are they people who, if you're really honest with yourself, have no regard for God? These are tough questions that we simply must ask ourselves. Who are the people who I will allow to speak into my life? The psalmist then broadens the picture he is painting of the man who is blessed by the Lord. He says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers." If you want to be truly blessed in life, the opening words of the whole collection of Psalms is saying this to us. Study the law of God, the Torah, which literally means instruction, and specifically the instruction that God gives to humanity as a guide for life. The Bible, this Torah, this guide for life, is to be a source of delight for us. I don't know about you, but to be honest, there have been times when I've kind of looked at the Bible as a source of guilt. I know many people see the Bible that way. They open it up and it's confronting, it hits you hard. You don't like some of the things that it says. I mean, who feels comfortable about Jesus' words in Matthew 5? You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If somebody strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if somebody wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If somebody forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is hard teaching, but teaching that brings freedom. It almost seems counterintuitive to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. I mean, if you've ever done it, it's so freeing to not have to get revenge, to not let your blood pressure go through the roof over every small injustice. It's so freeing to just let it go. The Bible, the Scriptures, will be a source of delight when you start to discover that the truth that it teaches is exactly that, truth. You might feel like there's nothing in this world that you can completely trust, nothing that won't ultimately let you down. Well, in some ways you're right, but there is one thing that will never let you down, something that will last forever, God's Word. Jesus said, this is Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The truth found in the Word of God will never change. This is the unchanging foundation. In a world of change, in a world of uncertainty, this is where you'll find answers to life's questions. This is where you'll learn to make the right choices at the many crossroads of life. Next, the psalmist says, this is the second part of verse 2, and on his law he meditates day and night. In other words, roll the words of God around in your head like a song. That's what this is saying. Like a song that gets stuck in there, going around and around and around, but in a good way, around and around until it becomes part of you, until you simply know how to react to life, until you know which way to turn when you reach a crossroad. Now, when I started that job with the opera company, I knew straight up that this was a crossroad. I knew that keeping company with these guys was going to lead to heartache and pain. Now, how did I know that? Was it through my inherent wisdom, something from within me? No way. The reason that I knew without hesitation to run from that situation was simply because I had been raised on the Word of God. The Bible had given me an image of righteousness on the one hand and an image of wickedness on the other. You see, I could compare and contrast the two images. This crossroad was one that I needed to decide on quickly, and I needed to make the right decision. That's the thing about crossroads in life. You rarely have the opportunity to stand there thinking. Life moves on. Often the critical decisions need to be made on the spot, right there, right then. You've got to be prepared. And the way that you prepare is to study the Word of God. Get into it, soak it up, roll it around in your head until it simply becomes part of who you are. Get with other Christians and talk about the Word of God. Learn from others who have walked the path ahead of you. Listen to others that have come to the same old crossroads. That's the thing about life. Generally, we all face the same issues. It's called the human condition. The question is, are you committed to studying, understanding, and hearing the Word of God? Now, keep asking these same questions, or maybe I should say the Bible keeps raising these same questions. Are you committed to studying, understanding, and hearing the Word of God? If you want to be blessed in life, hearing God's word is more important than anything else that you'll do. It's the source, it's the hub, it's the center, it's the place where you'll find blessing. You know, I said at the beginning that we all want to be happy. And I really believe that. I mean, people everywhere are searching for happiness. This is the first port of call. This is your first step. Soak yourself in the word of God. And when you do that, you'll become like a tree planted by a stream. That's what happens when we delight in meditating on reading and studying God's word. I love this verse, verse 3. He or she is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does prospers. When you delight in meditating on God's word, you'll become like a tree that roots, that's roots are deep in the earth, beside a stream that never runs dry. Whatever happens, whether the temperatures soar or the winds blow, that tree can cope. Whatever life throws at you, you'll be able to make it through because of the teaching of God that's been rolling around in your head. Will be like that life-giving water down at the roots. And in addition, you'll yield God-honoring kingdom fruit in season. Don't get too stressed about not producing fruit. It will come in season. Your job is to make sure that you're planted by the streams of living water, the scriptures, and you'll never wither and you'll produce heaps of good fruit. Did you get that last line? Whatever he does prospers. If you want to prosper, get into the Word of God. It's that simple, a recipe for success in life. Listen to the Word of God and live your life around its teaching. The wicked, on the other hand, live worthless lives that amount to nothing. Have a careful look. They're not my words. This is what the Bible says. Have a careful look at verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Remember, the wicked are those who have no regard for God and his ways. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. I looked up what wheat's used for. You know, it's used to make flour from which we get bread, pasta, cakes, heaps of good stuff that we eat. It's used in brewing and distilling, for livestock feed, and even as a coffee substitute. Can you believe that? Can you imagine a cup of coffee made with wheat extract? And wheat is really useful grain. Now, when the wheat's harvested, the seed has a husk surrounding it. It's called the chaff. The chaff is not useful. The chaff is useless. I want you to imagine that you're living in biblical times. You've been collecting the harvest of wheat, using a sickle to cut the stalks. It's all brought together on the threshing floor, a large flat area where all the wheat is brought. The day's been a warm one. You've just finished lunch and the wind is starting to pick up as the afternoon lingers on. The task is to throw the grain in the air again and again. Your hair and eyes are full of the dust. It's getting into your nose and making you want to sneeze. The wind is blowing the husks, the chaff away. The heavier grain is falling back to the ground. When all the chaff is removed, the grain will be ground down to make flour. This is the image that the psalmist has in mind. In our modern age, when we can easily miss what the writer is saying because we have no experience of dealing with chaff, we get in the car, drive to the supermarket, and buy bread. Wasn't like that then. Chaff is useless. It starts off being part of the wheat, but it no longer serves any purpose, and so it's blown away by the wind. That is what the wicked are like. This is what the Bible says. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Remember, the wicked in this sense are those who pay no attention to the Word of God. There are a lot of people who think that their lives are so important, so significant. Yet the Word of God is saying that ultimately the work of their life will blow away like chaff. The meaning of life is found in the Bible. Without understanding the fundamental reason for all of creation, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, then life does become quite meaningless. Do you see the stark contrast between the wonderfully useful grain that can literally give birth to thousands of other grains, or can be used to nourish and feed animals and people, and the totally useless chaff? So let me ask you again, who are the influences in your life? Who are the people who speak into your life? More importantly, who do you listen to? Who are the people who influence the way that you live your life? When you stand at the crossroads of life, and there will be many, how are you going to know which way to turn? The psalmist finishes by speaking of the final judgment. He says, when judgment finally comes, those who ignore God's word will not stand. Have a look. Verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, in Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus said these words. I think we need to give careful, thoughtful attention to his words. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. The road to destruction is broad and wide. An enormous throng of people are walking on that road, and the easiest thing in the world is to just go with the flow, to simply be swept along by the crowd. You know, some years ago, Louise and I attended a concert in the Sydney Football Stadium. We knew people who were performing in the centre area, and we needed to meet up with them at the conclusion because they were giving us a lift home. We were sitting up in the stands, and when the performance finished, we made our way down the stairs and into one of these long tunnels that kind of lead down into the centre of the ground, but it goes down under the grandstand and then back up into the centre. About halfway along this tunnel, because when we entered it, it was empty, but about halfway along this tunnel, we were met by literally thousands of people going the other way. We were the only ones heading in. I mean, everyone else wanted to get out. We were stuck. It was nearly impossible to keep going. And I must say, I was tempted to head back and wait for everyone else to leave. But we pressed on, much to the disgust of many, I'm sure. At the time, I thought of Jesus' words. Life will be just like that. There will be times when you will feel like you're the only one who is heading in a certain direction. And you'll feel foolish. You'll be tempting to turn around and to walk with everyone else, to stand in the way of the wicked, to take advice from people who know nothing of the ways of God, to live a lifestyle that has nothing to do with the ways of God, and to keep company with people who want nothing to do with God. Well, the writer of Psalm 1 is saying, maybe 1,000 years before Jesus was born, it's about 3,000 years ago, some 150 generations before you were born. How's that for standing the test of time? If you want to be successful in life, if you want your life to have meaning, then study the Word of God and live by it. You've got to get some help from outside the mess. There's only one person outside of the mess, God. This book is the most important document you'll ever read. Nothing will change your life like this will. Yet sadly, it sits on shelves or beside your bed or on the desktop of your phone for weeks on end without ever being opened. Don't think I read the Bible every single day. I mean, I really try to, but I struggle just as you do. The pressures of life get to me just like they do to you. But just because I fail doesn't mean I shouldn't stand here and tell you truthfully that I believe the Word of God, what it's saying to us, me included. I'm completely convinced that nothing will change the world like a group of people who are passionately consumed with living their lives by the radical principles laid down in these pages. Nothing surer than this. Base your life on the wisdom of God, and you'll be like a tree planted by streams of life-giving water, its leaves never withering, and you'll bear fruit in God's time. Everything that you do will prosper. Amen. May the Lord bless you today.